So, my dear brothers and sisters, we thought that we would take advantage of this beginning of the year and of this celebration of Epiphany to begin a series of homilies for this week and the next 2 weeks on prayer. If you haven't noticed, I have been on what you may call a kick. It's not a kick, but you may call it a kick. In thinking about it, you know, many times as Catholics, the word prayer is a 5-cent word. You know, we throw it around a lot. We use it a lot. And in realizing the way we use it a lot, I don't know if we really understand what it means. I think we have, we probably have 300 people in this room. There would be 300 different understandings of what prayer is. For some of us, prayer is a one line a day to God. I'm not saying that that's not prayer. I'm just saying that for some of us, it would be longer. For some of us, it would be when we need something. There is all different kinds of understanding of prayer. But what we want to accomplish in these next 3 weeks is to give you a good definition of prayer, to really help you to understand what prayer is, what are the different types of prayer, such as intercessory prayer, prayers of petition. There's different types of prayer. And then in the third week, we want to give you some practical advice of how to apply prayer to your daily life, because that is the goal of what God has been putting on my heart as pastor of this parish, which is to lead us into a deeper relationship with God. That has been what I have been doing these last few months by sending you home with scripture to pray with, is to have been working on instilling in you, I hope it has worked, but instilling in you a desire to pray and a desire to spend time with the Lord. This is why we have brought the Hollow app also, which I will talk about more at the end of this homily. Today, as we celebrate this feast of the Epiphany, we're celebrating God's manifestation to the world. And when we talk about God showing himself, it's something also that is very personal to me, and I hope to all of us. I hope that in this Christmas, in this season of Christmas, God has manifested himself to us. And I hope that in God manifesting himself to us, I hope that we have truly been left in awe of God. Because if we think about it, if we think of all the wonderful things that God has done for us and with us and through us, we really should be in awe of God. And I particularly, it's been true for me too, is that God has given me a new lease on the priesthood, if you want to call it, a new lease on the importance of that relationship with God. Because as I have said to you before, it's easy when you become a priest, it's easy to get bogged down by all of the things that have to be done, and you lose the freshness of it. You know, you lose the newness of it, and something that you should never lose the newness of, but it does happen. And a lot of times, because of many different things that happen to me over these last few years, it became easier to put prayer away than to really give it its proper place in my own life. And the Lord in this last year has convicted me of my own lack of prayer, and also has shown me the need for all of us to have a life of prayer. And I guess you can say this is maybe something similar has happened to you as married with children, is sometimes you're going along with life, and sometimes you realize something happens, your wife says something to you, your husband says something to you, your kids say something to you that make you realize, oh man, we're going down the wrong path. You know, we're not living, we're not being parents to the fullest, we're not living our marriage to the fullness, we're not taking care of each other, we're treating each other as passing ships, you know. And you come to that realization and you realize that, and thank God something happens, and you realize that this has been happening, and the immediate response is to reset your life so that everything has its proper order. Well, this happens with priests too, and we come to a realization that we are not where we needed to be personally, and then also as pastor, we're always looking at where is the parish, and where is God calling us to bring the parish. And so I guess you can say that Father has undergone a reset. And I know that whenever Father goes through a reset, that is a great cause for, well, as Catholics, I'm just going to say it straight up, great cause for gossip. Because we really do, as Catholics, we do have on sometimes the market cornered on gossip. We're very good at it. Anyway, not just as Catholics, but just in general, we have a very big tendency towards gossip. It's okay, but I know that it happens. And so when a priest changes, or I shouldn't say changes, when a priest undergoes something happens, you know, we begin to come up with all kinds of explanations for why Father is being the way he is. And really, quite simply, you don't have to gossip about it. You can just come and ask me, but it's okay. We're human and we come up with it. It is also funny in a parish, some of the stories that can come up. It's really a lot like the chicken game. Remember when we were kids? Boy, it can start one way and woof, sheesh, changes completely. It's amazing. But anyway, that's just because of what we're prone to. And now you're saying, well, what does this have to do? And so I know that there has been a change in my own life, in my own prayer life, and you may or may not have noticed. I hope that you have. But it has really been really the Lord in my prayer life has been, through different events, has been saying, Joe, you need to take me more seriously. And that is something for all of us. And I know you may have also noticed that there are some things different here at the parish that are noticeable, which is another great, because we're Catholics, another great reason for us to kind of go back to the gossip. Oh well, why did Father do this, or why did it? And again, we have a tendency to come up with a lot of stories. And not really have the full story. Again, you can come and ask me, but I know that sometimes especially with some of the changes that maybe have happened, you know, all of a sudden we're thinking, well, we know there was a synod last year, and so Father is responding to the synod, and the synod is throwing the doors open more to the Catholic Church. I know that this is one rumor going around, but the synod is throwing open the doors of the church, and Father doesn't like that, which I have never said, nor have I ever thought, but that's one of the rumors going around among you, and it's okay. And so Father is changing because he doesn't want to change with the way the church is changing. So that's one of them. There's a couple of others. Father again wants to go back to the old way. He's trying to pull us back into 1960, and I wasn't even a flicker in my mother's mind in 1960. So I don't have any particular love for the year 1960. But okay. Okay. Also, there's the father, father's, he's 43, almost 44. You know, these young priests, they come in and they think they're going to do something. And wait, Father will learn. Father will learn. And my dear brothers and sisters, I hope that I never learn. Because if we are with that kind of mentality, then what the real cause of that mentality is a desire for you not to want to change, for you not to want to grow. And that's a dangerous place, not just in our Catholic faith, but just in every aspect of life. It's dangerous to be in a place where growth and change, where you don't allow that to happen in your life. So I invite you to leave behind that silliness. Also, and this has nothing to do with the homily, but just as a side, also, it's dangerous to gossip. So that's a whole other homily, but that's just a good way to always remind it's dangerous to gossip, and it's something that we should keep out of our life at all the time, and help our friends and neighbors to keep out of that too, because it's just not healthy. But anyway, so what all of this has something to do with my own prayer life, and I hope with a desire for you to have a prayer life. So what is prayer? And the best definition I ever got of prayer, and it's actually in the catechism, but I didn't get it from the catechism. I got it when I was 17 years old and I had the opportunity to be in France for the World Youth Day. And one of the saints we went to visit was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. I had the privilege of going to Lisieux when I was 17. And she is one of the saints that I love the most. I don't know if you've ever read her life. If you haven't, please do, because it really is just a beautiful story. But she gives the best definition that I have ever heard of prayer. And I have heard a lot of definitions of prayer. I have spent a lot of time in the seminary. There's a lot of definitions out there. But her definition of prayer is, and it's not really a definition, it's what she's saying prayer is. Prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. That is, by far, the best definition of prayer you will ever hear. And I want to break that down because she says it is a surge of the heart. For something to be a surge of the heart, it has to be something that is in us naturally, that God has put into our hearts. And if we look in the Old Testament, When God is speaking to Moses at Mount Sinai, he says to the people, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul." Now, why does he tell the people that? Because he created us with that desire. But that desire is very easily replaceable. And I think that everyone in this church, from old to young, can relate to that sentence. We have all, at times in our lives, found things that replaced God, and we can come up with a plethora of things, and it happens. And so God has to take his people and say, "You shall worship, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall not worship other gods." Because that desire for worship, that desire for knowing something that is greater than I, is built into us. And so prayer is a surge of that desire. And one of the first things that you and I have to learn, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we have to learn to listen to that surge. Because what we will realize is that a lot of times what we fall into sin. Basically, why do we sin? We sin because there is that surge, there is that desire in our hearts for a relationship. And instead of filling that relationship with God, we fill it with things that do not bring us life, with things that do not give us happiness. But what God is saying is that prayer is a recognition. If you have that surge in your heart, it's a recognition of saying, only God can fulfill that surge. St. Augustine will say, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Because our true rest, our true peace, that calm that I hear a lot of you saying to me, "Father, I would love for my life to be a lot more peaceful. I'd love for my life to be a lot more, to be a lot calmer, for things not to be so hectic." Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I wish I could wave the hecticness out of your life. I can't. But that hecticness is manageable if we understand that it can only be satisfied. That peace that you are longing for can only be found in God. So, she says, it's a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. I love that, because for something to be turned toward heaven means, what does it mean? That we're not looking at ourselves, which is very hard for us. Because, boy, we are consumed by us. We are consumed by how I feel, what I want, what I feel like, what makes me happy, what I need next, what's gonna give me rest, what's gonna give me comfort. We are consumed about that. I don't know if you've ever caught yourself. Maybe I'm the only one who's bad like this, but I don't think so. I caught myself sometimes coming to the end of the day and going, I have done nothing but thought of myself. It's amazing. And so prayer is actually very simple, because it is about turning away from ourselves and looking to heaven. And in that looking towards heaven, that looking towards God, comes the next part, which is, it is a cry of recognition and of love. Because if we are turned towards heaven, if we are not turned towards ourselves, prayer is about saying, God, you are the only one. You are the only one that can help me in this moment, that can give me what I need. It is a recognition of on ourselves of saying, I may not have the answer to everything. And boy, is that hard for us to admit. That's why it's hard for us to pray. Because as I have said before, we are such control freaks. You look at me like I'm funny, but it's true. That's another thing. Ask the Lord to show you how much of a control freak you are. You won't like it. You won't like it. That's why we have a hard time turning towards heaven, because we want control. And so then we don't want to pray, because that means we have to give up control. And so it is a look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love. Embracing, this is the wonderful thing about prayer, embracing both trial and joy. We're very good at praying when things are going well. Let's be honest. We're good at it. We're good at saying, thank God everything's going great. When things get tough, another thing you can catch yourself on. What is the first thing that stops very easily when life gets tough? Prayer. What was it the first thing when I experienced hardship in my life that went? Prayer. Because we want to pray when things are well, we want to pray when we're happy, but then we pray and sometimes we don't feel anything because we base everything on feelings. And so if I don't feel like God is talking to me, God must not be talking to me, therefore this prayer thing isn't working. Or we've done the other thing, which is I tried it for 2 days and it doesn't work, and so we've moved on. But my dear brothers and sisters, what we want to do in these next few weeks is to really give you the tools to understand prayer and to put that prayer into practice. And I'm not talking about hours. I mean, eventually that would be wonderful. That would be great. But I'm talking about making an intentional moment in our day in which we say, for this period of time every day, Lord, I am going to stop looking at myself and I'm going to look at you. I'm going to contemplate you. I'm going to ask you for help. I'm going to be grateful for everything that you have given me for this small period of my day. To be intentional about it. This is why, as we were saying, and tomorrow we are doing a retreat. Halo has sent a representative. She was supposed to be here at Mass tonight, but her plane was hours and hours late, and so she couldn't be here tonight. But tomorrow, after the 11:30 Mass, we're going to be doing a Halo retreat. And I invite you, come and take a chance. You say, but Father, it's Saturday. You mean you want me to come back tomorrow? What, don't you get enough? I mean, haven't I checked the card off enough? I mean, been here for an hour, isn't that enough? My dear brothers and sisters, if what you're doing now is not working, which in a lot of cases is not working, why not take a chance? Try something out. Maybe you have been asking, you've been struggling with prayer, you've been asking, God, I want to have a better prayer life. Here's the rope. Maybe, just maybe, small chance, you can grab the rope. So come. This is one opportunity, which Halo is a fantastic tool. I know that it has been a prayer-changing tool for me because it's nice. I like very much listening to someone. I like having someone to pray with, to guide my prayer. I'm the kind of person that that helps. So that's not going to work for everybody, but it is. I know, because I know that you have come to me, not all of you, but a lot of you have come to me and said that you have really enjoyed the Hollow app. Even if you're already using the app, I invite you to come tomorrow after the 11:30 Mass, learn a little bit more about prayer, spend a little time with the Lord, you can dedicate tomorrow some time, you can begin tomorrow, the new year, dedicate some time to the Lord. Come back here, there will be food, there'll be lunch, so I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to feed you in two ways, physically and spiritually. What more can God do for you but roll out the red carpet? So I invite you, take this opportunity, take this chance, and really begin to ask the Lord, Lord, I would really like to have the ability to spend time in prayer with you. Let us stand and profess our faith.